In today's gospel, the Lord has a tough time trying to show and to prove to the disciples that he's truly raised from the dead. They had a difficult time believing in that. So what does the Lord do? It says, first of all, he comes into the locked room. He just passes through the doors, and it says he stands in their midst. And then he speaks to them, and he even reads their hearts and reads their minds and said, I know you're troubled. Why do you harbor these questions? And then the Lord tries to prove to his disciples that it's really him. He says, take a look at the nail prints that were in my hands. Take a look at the nail marks in my feet, and even in the place where the lance went through my side. And the Lord says, show them his hands and feet, to try to convince them, to try to prove that he's raised from the dead. And then it says, our Lord even goes to drastic measures. He's trying to convince them, because they all think it's a ghost, because they had seen, at least at a distance, they had seen the crucifixion, they had seen the Lord so cruelly treated, they knew that he had died. They saw the soldier thrust the lance through his heart. They saw Jesus placed in the tomb. And so they were so scared, they thought that this was an apparition or a vision or a ghost. So the Lord is trying to convince them, and he even says, well, let me prove it to you, because a ghost cannot eat, but I'm going to eat something. So what do you have for dinner, folks? And so they find some baked fish. It's a good, have you ever played Catholic trivia? And it says, what's the first thing Jesus ate after he was raised? The answer is baked fish. So he took some fish and he ate it in front of them. All these things he did to try to convince them that he was risen from the dead. Now the church teaches us that Christ's glorified body had four qualities. And these are the same four qualities that you and I and any soul that makes it to heaven will also receive on the resurrection on the last day. We know that when we die, our souls will go to the next world. Our bodies will be placed in the tomb, either be cremated, turned to dust and ashes in the grave, and or to be buried. And so the body will be separated from the soul until the second coming of Christ. But then, after the general resurrection, when Jesus comes again to judge the living and the dead, the souls in heaven will receive their glorified bodies. The souls in hell will also receive their bodies, being reunited to their souls. And then we were made whole again, because until our bodies and soul are joined together, we're not a complete person. So in heaven, at first, we just have our soul. But after the resurrection of the dead, at the second coming of Christ, it says our bodies will be raised up, reunited to our souls, and we will be once again made whole. This is based upon what Jesus says in John chapter 5. He says, the hour is coming when the dead will leave their graves at the sound of his voice, the voice of the Son of Man. Those who did good will rise to life. Those who did evil will rise to condemnation. So the church has always taught for the last 2,000 years that we will one day get our resurrected, glorified bodies returned to us. We even say this in the creed. In a few moments, we'll say the creed and we say, we acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. The resurrection of the dead, when you and I will receive our transformed, perfected bodies and be reunited again with our soul. So the four qualities of Jesus' glorified body will be the same as our glorified bodies. So what are these four qualities? The first one is the quality of clarity or brilliance or radiance. This means that when Jesus rose from the dead, his soul shone through the beauty of his body, and that he was incredibly radiant with light and beauty and holiness, and he was filled with this heavenly radiance. Well, the souls in heaven, once we get our glorified bodies, our bodies will also shine like the stars of heaven, as the Bible says, and that we will be filled with light and beauty and radiance. Our souls and our bodies will be incredibly magnificent and beautiful in the eyes of God and one another. The second quality of a resurrected, glorified body that Jesus already has and that we look forward to one day having is, the second quality is impassibility, which means the inability to suffer. Once we're resurrected in the glorified body, we will never again experience death or pain or any kind of illness, any kind of disease, any kind of hunger or thirst. But you might say, well, then why did Jesus have that little fish fillet for dinner? It wasn't because he was hungry. It was because he was proving that he could eat. So that's a good thing to remember, that if you enjoy food on this world, you can look forward to that midnight buffet in heaven. You know, I've never been on a cruise, but they say there's like food all the time, right? Now, in heaven, you're not going to have to eat to stay alive, obviously. But if you want to enjoy the pleasures of eating, you'll be able to do so. That's one of the nice benefits of heaven and the glorified body. You're not going to have to eat, but you can enjoy the pleasures of eating in heaven. So then, impassibility means that we'll never again suffer or experience any kind of illness or disease once we have our glorified body. And that's very comforting to those who have cancer or arthritis or other illnesses that you're going through right now. The crosses that you carry will all be transformed and become signs of glory. In fact, Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, his wounds were transformed. He still had the five wounds, but they were now like shining jewels that had been that were now transformed. The apostles could still see the marks in his hands and his feet, but they were now perfected and radiant in beauty, shining symbols or stars of the Lord's love for us. In a sense, the blood that he shed was the love letter that Christ wrote to us in his own blood. And now he was transformed and transfigured in his resurrected, glorified body. Now, the third quality of the resurrected body that Jesus had and that we'll have, God willing, is spirituality. The body is not going to be limited by material things. That's why Jesus can become present in the Eucharist, because Christ now is risen, and now he can come under any appearance, any shape, under the appearance of the bread, under the appearance of the wine in the Eucharist. So the glorified body is not limited by material limitations. For example, Jesus could walk right through the locked doors with a glorified body. The material things did not hinder that. And you and I will also have that quality of our glorified body. And then the fourth quality of the resurrected body is what's called agility, or the ability that the body will have to respond to the intention or the desire of the mind and the will. So wherever the mind or the will wanted the body to go, it could. For example, in Scripture, Jesus at one point was in Jerusalem. Then he says, I want to go to meet my disciples in Galilee. He just, in his mind, said, I want to be in Galilee, and he shows up in Galilee. It's like getting beamed down wherever you want to go. It's one of the great privileges of a glorified body. At the ascension, Jesus said, I'm going to ascend up to heaven. And so his mind said, and his body perfectly responded. Again, one of the great joys we'll have when we get our glorified bodies is being able to go to any parts of the universe that we so choose to visit, just at the speed of thought, just at the desire of our intellect and will, we can do that. So it's something that we have to look forward to. Believe it or not, it will be our same body that we get, but it'll be transformed and perfected. And even if it's been disintegrated or reduced to dust and ashes, God resurrects our body and perfects it and transforms it. Now, people can say, well, how can God do that? Well, it's pretty easy. If you're God, If you can create the whole universe out of nothing, you can certainly recreate the body out of dust and ashes. And even if somebody, let's say, lost a part of their body, like their leg, in amputation in the war, or their arm, they will have that fully restored, and they'll be made perfect. I was just reading that article yesterday. Some of you might have read the article about the mountain climber out in Utah. Very powerful story of survival. How this man, I think his name was Aaron Ralston, was hiking, camping, actually, and mountain climbing in Utah by himself. And he apparently was climbing, and one of the boulders shifted, and it rolled down over his right hand and wrist and part of his arm. And of course, this weighed over 1,000 pounds, they estimate, and there was no way he could budge that. So there he was by himself and no way to get out, and he pushed and tried for a few days. He had enough food and water, apparently, for a few days. After, I guess, 3 or 4 days, he ran out of water and knew that he was either going to die there or he had to do something drastic. And if you read the story, you'll see this incredible will to survive, taking his own pocket knife in his left hand and having to amputate his right arm right below the elbow. Then he bandaged it up as best he could, and then he had to rappel 75 feet down the cliff, and then he had to walk 7 miles until he came out to an area where the rescue team eventually found him. But what a powerful story of survival. And I thought about that yesterday. I was preparing for this homily, thinking about how, I don't know the state of his soul, but let's say if he gets to heaven, he will receive a perfected, glorified body. He'll receive his arm and be perfected. That's something that you and I can look forward to in heaven. Now, people say, well, how old will we be? How old will if we die at the age of 90, will we get our 90-year-old body? Hope not, right? Well, we don't know this for sure, but St. Thomas Aquinas speculates that since Jesus died at the age of 33, Thomas said that is the age of perfection. 33 is the age of perfection, which means that many of you have perfection yet to come, right? That you can look forward to the age of perfection. If you're like me, I'm way beyond perfection, right? Because we're past the age of 33. That's just a guess. But we do know that we'll be perfect in every way. We'll all look like Hollywood stars and models, and we'll all look like glamour shots, as we say. And the nice thing about that is that we'll all be the perfect height, the perfect weight. Wouldn't that be nice to be the perfect weight? If you lost your hair, you'll have all your full head of hair back. And so it's something that is one of the great joys of heaven and the glorified bodies. And it gives us encouragement to live the holy life, to fight the good fight, to run the race, and to follow the commandments, because we all want to get to heaven and be with God for all eternity. And some people say, well, what about, let's say, a baby? If a baby died, how old will that child be in heaven? Again, the speculation of theologians like Thomas, it'll be a fully grown person. Again, the age of perfection, whatever age that might be. That's also comforting to those that have lost a young child or a little one, that the child will also be fully mature and perfect in heaven as well. So when we're going through this world, it can get discouraging. You might have, you know, physical ailments and crosses that you're carrying. But remember that if you get to heaven, make it to heaven, you will get a perfected, glorified body. And that's one way in which the resurrection of Christ can make a very practical impact upon our life here and now. Jesus had those qualities in his glorified body, and you and I, if we're faithful, if we live and die as God's friends in the state of grace, we too will look forward to the perfection, not only of our soul, but of our resurrected body as well. God bless you.